All right. Thank you for that. Everybody, let's get up and dance. I'm just kidding. How you guys doing this morning? Need to give yourselves a pat on the back for getting here to church this morning because it's cold out there, right? Winter just came right out of nowhere and slammed us. So I was out there last night. Actually, I wasn't out there, but my kids were out there shoveling the snow. Got them mobilized, so we got that done. Had to clear out the van this morning. But anyways, it's great to be here with you this morning. And welcome if you're visiting with us. We're glad to have you here. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump in because we have just a little bit of time together, and we got a lot of ground to cover. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you're here with us. We thank you, Lord, that you walk with us no matter where we're at or what we're going through. You're faithful, Lord. You said you'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord, this morning that your love is constant. Lord, it doesn't change. Lord, you said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So, Lord, we just want to hear from you this morning. Thank you that you want to speak to us. It's not about hearing from any individual person. It's about hearing from you, seeing you more clearly, and walking with you. We give this time to you. We invite you here in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I have a question for you this morning. It's going to be up on the screen. What are you dealing with in life right now? I want you to think about that. What are you dealing with in life right now that's difficult? We've got a lot of people here in our church that are going through some difficult things right now. We got people that are fighting chronic sickness. We have people that, some people that are part of our church family that are dealing with cancer. We have folks that maybe some of us are dealing with some marital difficulties, parenting issues. That's always a challenge. And if you don't have kids or you're not married yet, you know, as a single, sometimes it's tough. You struggle with loneliness and that desire to have your own family someday. For Sharon and I, the past couple of years, it seems like the thing that's been the most challenging for us is just growing as parents. We've got four kids. Three of them are teenagers, and the fourth one thinks he's a teenager. And, you know, it's funny because I've been doing youth ministry for 25, 30 years, working with kids. And so I thought to myself when I was younger, man, teenagers, I got that down. You know, I got that figured out. That's going to be no sweat because this is right in my wheelhouse. But it's different when they're your kids. It's different. So I'm having to grow. Sharon and I are having to grow, and God's revealing some weaknesses in us maybe that we didn't see before as we walk through this season of our lives. And, you know, as you're going through that and some of those struggles, whatever you're facing, you know, there's still things that have to get done. You still have to go to work. You still got to pay bills, got to try to squeeze in a little bit of time with my wife, right? Life doesn't stop. It doesn't slow down. And sometimes it can feel a little bit overwhelming. Sometimes I feel personally like I'm just sort of stringing it all together, trying to keep my head up above water a little bit. Can you relate to that? Have you ever felt like that? As one friend and brother said to me last week, man, life can be brutal. It really can. It can be brutal. Well, here's my second question for you. How are you dealing with that? How are you dealing with it? How are you dealing with whatever you're facing right now? How are you dealing with it? Well, people go to all kinds of stuff to deal with their trials, to deal with their difficulties, right? There's plenty of options. There's the self-destructive ones, drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction. There's all kinds of stuff we can get into there. And then there's the more socially acceptable ones. I'm just going to go on a Black Friday binge and shop. Buy me some new stuff so that I feel better. Get a new set of clothes. Or I'm going to just immerse myself in a bunch of sports and activities or music. Or I'm just going to get lost on the internet or in my video games. There's a lot of options, and these aren't all necessarily bad things, right? But these are things we can go to and to try to escape our pain. For me, what I have a tendency to do is get a little bit angry because it sort of provides a release for me. But I don't always exercise that in a positive way. Or for me, I love activity. I love sports. I love following sports. I love being involved in my kids' activities. And again, these are bad things in of themselves, but sometimes if we're not careful, these things can be sort of a way for us to escape what's really going on in our lives. And then, of course, one of my favorite go-tos is, man, just going in the bathroom, closing the door, and reading the news. You know? Sometimes I end up in there longer than I expected. Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning that there's a better way for you and me to deal with our pain. Are you ready? Here's my message in a nutshell. It's going to be right up on the screen here. Go to God with your grief. Go to God with your grief. Now, I was hanging with my good homie and my friend G, my brother in the Lord. He's over there this week, and he said, you know, that's great, Craig. That sounds good. But I think people need to know what that looks like. What exactly does that look like to go to God with your grief? I said, that's really insightful. That's good stuff. So what I want to do this morning is I want to take a look at Psalm 42 and 43. It's one of my all-time favorites. Great psalm. And because I think it can provide us with some guidance on how to deal with our grief as we go through life. Now, a couple things before I read the psalm. I'm going to read it to you. First thing is it's a lament, right? There are all kinds of different types of psalms. You've got psalms of trust, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of praise, and then you have the laments, okay? And by definition, a lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. It's a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. And here's what's really interesting is that laments make up the largest group in the psalms. They make up the largest group in the Psalms. And I think that's pretty cool. And that tells me, you know, God's not afraid of our pain and our hurts. And he can handle it. The second thing you need to know about this psalm before I read it to you is it's really one psalm. We're going to read Psalm 42 and 43. It's 15, 16 verses altogether. But it's really one psalm. And you'll see that as we read through it. You'll see it with the structure. So here we go. Hang with me as we read through this together. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where's this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Now I am deeply discouraged. But I will remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars, for you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. And there I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy, and I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. How many of you here like roller coasters? Okay, about maybe two-thirds of us or so. Now, I used to like them a lot more than I do now because I'm getting a little older, all right, so I can't quite handle them, but my kids, you know, sometimes, you know, with some of your kids, maybe they're going to like this kind of stuff. All my kids love this stuff. So we went to Cedar Point again this summer, the second time. They're begging me all summer, please, can we go to Cedar Point? And it was so cool because we went there and there was hardly anybody there. Roller coaster. Now, I didn't ride as much as they did. But I got on there a couple. I can't handle the wooden roller coasters because I get off of one of those and, I got a headache. So a lot of people like roller coasters, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have amusement parks, right? It's a good business. But I would say the majority of people don't really necessarily care for emotional roller coasters, right? Those aren't as fun. But they're real, and we deal with it. That's what happens in life, right? They just kind of come, and we're not expecting them, but that's just sometimes how life goes. And that's what we see going on here in this psalm. This guy is on an emotional roller coaster. Down and up, down. There's a clear pattern in the psalm. If you followed it, if you read through it, there's a clear pattern. And I'm going to call the downs and the ups, the moments of sorrow and grief and the moments of hope. I'm going to call them drop zones and lift zones. So what I want to do is I don't have time this morning to walk through each drop zone and each lift zone. But what I want to do is point out the common themes in all of the drop zones and the common themes that I see as I read through the Psalms in the lift zones. Does that sound good? All right, so let's take a look at the drop zones. What's leading this individual, this psalmist, who writes this psalm into the drop zones? First, he has a longing to go back home and be with his people. Right, in verse 2, it said, I thirst for God, for the living God. When can I go and stand before him? This is not a verse about growing in your passion for God, which is the way I used to interpret it when I was younger. This guy is in exile. He's a Jewish man in exile, probably in Babylon or Assyria, and he's been forcibly removed from his home. Anything like that going on in the world today? And he's missing his homeland. Man, I long to be back where I used to be. That's leading him into a place of sadness, longing to go back home, be with his people. And then secondly, the memories of how things used to be. The good old days. Verse 42:4 says, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. Right? He's recalling the times of celebration. In fact, it appears that maybe he was even a worship leader among God's people. He was leading the procession, it says. And he's recalling these times and fondly remembering them. He recalls some of the special landmarks of his homeland, Mount Hermon, the Jordan, Mount Mizar, in verse 6 of chapter 42. A third thing that's leading him down into the drop zone are the taunts and the bullying and the lies of his enemies. At one point, he says that his enemies taunt him. He actually says it twice in the psalm. He's being taunted by his enemies. Twice he says he's being oppressed by his enemies. Twice, he talks about how his enemies mock his belief and his trust in God, saying, where is this God of yours? And then a final thing that is causing to go down in this drop zone, we're on this ride with this guy, okay? Just picture yourself on a roller coaster here. We're going down. It's a little scary. It's a little, I don't know. Here's the fourth thing. The idea that maybe God doesn't really care and has abandoned him. He says, your waves and surging tides sweep over me. Why have you forgotten me, he says. Why have you tossed me aside? All of these things together, they lead him down into the drop zone of his soul. Now, I want you to think back to my original question that we started with. What are you dealing with in your life right now? What's breaking your heart? Have you ever wished you could return to another time or a place in your life? Do you wish that some things were the way they used to be? Have you been held back or paralyzed by lies that have taken up residence inside your head? Oh, you're ugly. You're not a real man. Never really going to amount to anything. You're just kind of average. Not as good as you used to be, man. You're just so-and-so. Have you ever thought, where is God at in all of this? Is he really good? Does he really care? Well, I hope you find comfort in this psalm, as I do, knowing that, you know, we're not alone. And it's not like God pretends like this stuff doesn't really go on. It's actually one of the things that really gives me trust in the Bible, is the Bible doesn't pretend like everything's always perfect, that everything goes well. I think it's very interesting that the largest group of psalms in the Psalms are these laments. See, because that's real. That's our experience as human beings. And so he offers that. He allows for a lot of space. He allows our words, human words, in his word. We really can go to God with our grief. But again, we need to ask, what does that look like? Well, one thing that we've learned so far from this psalm is that it means we need to get real. That's one way we can go to God with our grief, is we get real with ourselves, with God, and with other people about what we're really struggling with instead of pretending like everything's fine and okay. That's our common response when people ask us, Harry, how you doing, man? I'm fine. Fine, everything's good. No, it's not. Come on, let's get real, man. We got struggles, we're human beings. So how do we get real? How do we do that? Well, one thing we can do is we can approach God in prayer and worship as we are rather than how we'd like to be. Breaks my heart when people feel like, you know, because a lot of people feel this. You know, I got to have my act together. Then I can go to prayer, or then I can come to church. I've run into a lot of people like this over the years. No, you're missing the point. Come as you are. Come as you are. That's the whole point of the gospel. That's the whole point of grace. You come as you are, not as you'd like to be. So if you come to prayer or to worship and you're tired, just be there in that place and say, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I'm struggling. But I'm still looking for some hope and some guidance. Help me, Lord. Come as you are. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Another way how this might work itself out as far as being real is we form groups and community that are real. Not just social clubs, but groups that look more like AA. Why can't that be the norm? Where there's no posturing, there's no pretending. It's really refreshing to be in environments like that, where people are just kind of taking off the masks and getting real with one another. That's a safe place to be. We need places like that, you guys, all of us. I don't care how educated you are, how much you've achieved, how much success you've seen. We all need places in our lives where we can take off our masks and get real. I'm so grateful for some of the friends that I have here at New Life. In fact, it's one of the reasons I moved back to here a few years ago to be a part of this church family. It's just to be around some people that I know that are real. And they got my back when things are going difficult. And it's been a challenge the last couple of years, for sure. It's good to have people around me. Okay, so we looked at the drop zones. Now we're going to look at the lift zones. What are some of the things that lead this man into the lift zones? All right, well, I'm going to point out a couple interesting things. First of all, he pauses several times and stops his complaining. Four times in this psalm, he stops, he pauses, and he sort of transitions. All right? Secondly, he reflects and he asks himself an important question. Why am I feeling the way that I am? He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? He repeats it three times. I mean, maybe he's wondering what's at the root of it all, and he's attempting to better understand himself. Maybe he's wondering if he's taken things too far and he's allowing his emotions to get the best of him. Either are valid responses. And then he begins to do something interesting. He engages in some positive self-talk. He decides to place his hope in God. The truth of who God is and what he says. Three times he says, I will put my hope in God. In other words, I am choosing to center myself on God rather than on my circumstances. A fourth thing that leads him into this lift zone is he believes by faith that good things lie ahead and that God will redeem his pain and once again bring him to a place of victory and celebration. He says, I will praise him again. Three times. I will praise him again. And finally, the fifth thing that leads him into the lift zone is he acknowledges God as his Savior and his God. He uses the phrase three times again, my Savior and my God. God for him isn't merely a Savior or somebody else's Savior. He embraces God as his Savior. He recognizes that he needs God. He embraces him. So again, what can we learn from the lift zones about what it might look like to go to God with our grief? Here's the first thing. Maybe we need to create some space in our lives where we pause, like this man did. He paused. He paused his complaining. And we're still so that we're not simply reacting to our circumstances and what's going on around us. And we're able to think more clearly and get God's perspective on the situation. Maybe going to God for you and me may mean we engage in times of reflection. And we ask ourselves why we're feeling the way that we're feeling. And what might be at the root of that all. One tool that we use here at New Life is what we call an RSA. I don't have time to go into and explain it. But it's just a simple tool for us to sort of analyze what's really going on inside of us. What are we feeling? Why are we feeling? What are we believing? And what are we going to do about that? Maybe going to God with your grief means, well, you put your hope in God by engaging in positive self-talk and prayer. You reaffirm what you actually believe and what you're going to be about. Now, I'm into golf. My son is really good at it, and I love coaching him. And one of the things that I've learned, and you see this in other sports as well, is that golfers, to perform at a very high level, they have to have what's called a pre-shot routine. Okay, it's a very simple routine. So, and you walk through that pre-shot routine before every shot. So if I'm about to hit a putt, I basically have a very simple train of thought. See the line, roll the ball on the line. That's it. See the line, roll the ball on the line. You keep that as a focus. And what happens here is when you stick to that pre-shot routine, it gets you into a rhythm and a groove so that when the pressure's on, you're able to perform. So here's the question. What is our pre-shot routine that we go to as we go through our day, as we go through life? For me, it's simply this. Follow Jesus, love people. Follow Jesus, love people. I try to keep coming back to that. That's what it really boils down to for me. Follow Jesus. Craig, are you following Jesus? Are you loving people? Okay, let's stay focused on that. I need something simple like that, a routine that I can go back to because, you know, I'm a little ADD, and I get distracted. I got to go back to that. So that's one way that I talk to myself, and I've got some scriptures that I go back to that take me to that place. Okay, a fourth thing that we may do to go to God with our grief is we choose to believe that opportunities to experience God's goodness are just around the corner. In fact, they may even be right in front of us if we'll just open our eyes and seize the opportunities in front of us. It could lead us to praise him again. You know, most of us are probably familiar with the Carr family and what they've been going through with their son, Chad. It's been all over the news and sports. Several of us here in this church, we have several families in here that are connected to the Carr family. We talk about this on a regular basis in our small group. We've been praying for these guys. It's just enormous. I can't even imagine what it's got to be like for them to face what they're facing. But I'll tell you what I've been really impressed by. G and I were talking about this the other day, is Tammy's faith. I mean, you go on her Facebook page, she's sharing scripture, and we were just talking there and say, you know, how many hundreds, maybe thousands of people have heard the good news through her story? You know? Even though she's in the middle of this pain, she's seizing the opportunity. She's still praising God in the midst of it. Who knows what God is doing with that? It's really admirable. A fifth way we might go to God with our grief is we just simply drop to our knees and we personally acknowledge God as our Savior. And we recognize that at the end of the day, he's really the only one who can rescue us from pain, suffering, and death. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is where Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? Because you hold the words of eternal life. Maybe you're in that place where you need to do that. You just need to drop to your knees and say, Lord, I know that you're a Savior, and I know that you're so-and-so Savior, but Lord, I just embrace you as my Savior today. I need you. I can't make it without you. Help me. Please help me. And cry out to him. So go to God with your grief. That's what I want you to remember from today, okay? And hopefully you got a couple of practical ideas on how to do that. Go back to this Psalm, Psalm 42, 43. Walk through it. God's okay with the roller coaster ride. It's all over the Bible. He can handle it. He loves you. He's with us. He hasn't forgotten about us. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for loving us as we are. We thank you, Jesus, that you can handle. Lord, you can handle our pain and our suffering, our failures, our messes. We're so grateful for that, Lord. Lord, thank you that you understand. You yourself suffered. You endured the cross. Lord, agonizing suffering and pain on our behalf. We're so grateful for that, Lord. We give the rest of this morning to you, and we thank you again for this time together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.